Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Jimhotep Habarigani, and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 in the house, live coming to you straight from my living room. And ladies and gentlemen, Omi wasn't able to do the full-blown show yesterday because of a passing, a transition of one of our nearest friends. We had to be out with the family, so therefore we did the show the best we could yesterday. However, we do want to zone in on the topic for yesterday. Who was the gentleman that created the first reparation proposal letter, which was in the form of a civil rights document? And that gentleman is not a 365-degree turn for you to find out who he is. That gentleman happens to be Dr. Claude Anderson, who also wrote Dirty Little Secrets, and we have been featuring a number of different concepts from Dr. Claude Anderson. Dr. Claude Anderson is the president and founder of Harvest Institute, and his whole mission is working for the cause of reparation and to expose economic problems that are currently going on. You could find some of his material by Googling the Harvest Institute. Dr. Claude Anderson wrote that document so that we would have a model for reparation. However, it did not get approved. And as you know, it actually was vetoed. So I had posed that question yesterday, and I think we were also going to be discussing a couple of things about homework. Now, how many of you had a chance to go out and do that homework? And I think I asked you to research those black codes and those black laws and to come back in the room so we can discuss it. Now, we've had a lot of conversation for this particular segment with young men calling in with their input, and I certainly enjoy it, and I do welcome your input and to converse with the young people who are very well endowed with African-centered teaching. I am very impressed. One of the gentlemen I spoke to had been involved with ICON training, IFA training, also dealing with a number of other African-centered trainings, very versed in his conversation, his topic. So I'd like to give that number out right now so that those listening out there in the audience can start calling in. We are still pressing forward on the topic of reparation. And that number here you can call in is 646-478-0270. Once again, welcome back to all of you and to all my listening audience. Please make sure you continue to listen to Omi. As I told you, we are going to be doing some great and adventuresome things in this particular radio station, and hopefully down the road you can definitely get involved. This segment has been created for our economic status. You know, we talked about getting right with our ethical values and character. Now we want to get some filthy lucre. So once you become literate and conscious, and then you clean yourself up to become ethical, then you want some filthy lucre so you can start creating institutions. As I told you earlier, we are institutions, and every one of us should not be looking for a job, but a yacht, owning your own business association. Okay? When you own your own business, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into that today and tell you the benefits. And we're going to also be talking about the reparation in 1863 scam. The Northerners had created a scam, ladies and gentlemen, and the president was involved in it as well. And this scam was to fool the South. And I'm going to go into detail to tell you all about it. And they thought the South was so slow that they wouldn't figure it out. However, because the Northerners had the input from the President of the United States, you guessed it, Abraham Lincoln was in on the scam. And we're going to be discussing all of that, and I certainly want to get you involved. Right now, right about now, I don't think I can say another word until I get my drum roll. You know, I am the emperor. And, yeah, of course, the emperor has to be properly introduced. I am your servant. Whatever you like, I am here at your dispense. Whatever you like. Let me call those drummers in before I get carried away. Drummers, will you please come in and give me a drum roll? You are so sweet sometimes. Come on, drummers, do it for me. I am the emperor. All right, here they come, ladies and gentlemen. They're bringing the drums in just for me. I am the emperor. I'm here at your disposal. Now, those of you out there perpetrating to be an emperor, remember that there is only one, only Uka, the emperor. However, you may duplicate and relevate, but you should never create like only Uka. I do it just for my listening audience. Just for you, I'm on here every day, bringing you the best that I have. And the tribe plays so well. Wouldn't you all agree? Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you, drummers. Thank you so much. Because, you know, they don't have to be here, ladies and gentlemen. I have to remember that just as it is the power of faith that keeps me coming back every day and encourage me, I have to encourage my support system, and I have to encourage my drummers and the tribe, because without them, Omi does not have a show. Now, I turned down a lot of responsibility, new assignments, taking classes in the PhD program, being on television, being involved in other radio shows. You know why? Because when we spread ourselves too thin, we don't do a good job. Everyone knows that. We don't do a good job. You've got to plan, and you have got to prioritize what it is that takes precedence. And whatever you are called to do, you do well. You don't spread yourself thin to go to other stations to start advancing other stations. If you have a gift that you can loan someone, support them. But don't spread yourself thin to the point where you don't have anything left for your own show. Now, people tend to think that we'll pay for a whole lot of things. I feel like when I'm good at something, usually people pay me to do what I'm good at. I don't pay for that opportunity to do what I'm good at. Now, also, normally it's important for people to stay loving and respectable when they're asking favors of other people. Now, if you go asking for favors from other people and you haven't apologized from the last idiosyncrasy and you just smooth that over real quick and then ask the person a favor, do you think they're going to do it? No, I don't think so. You have to come to your senses and apologize and say, you know, maybe I was wrong in that little discussion. Maybe I wasn't quite all right. And I want to extend my apologies and then start anew. But don't just move it over and act like nothing has happened and start talking to Omi like you've been friends with her all year long when you know you haven't been speaking to your Omi. I'm serious about it. I'm a friendly person, as you know. I'm a very forgiving person. If you do something to me last night and you want to be apologize tomorrow, it's fine. We can make up and kiss and make up and go ahead. But don't act like you don't remember when you did something wrong to me and now you're trying to smooth over and go to the next phase and I'm looking at you with Google eyes saying, "What are you talking about?" Didn't you realize we stopped being friends the other day when you decided you weren't going to speak no more? Now, I'm an easygoing person, but I'm nobody's fool. I understand that we have to go along to get along, but I'm not going to let nobody use me and my good gifts. That's right. I know I got the gift of gab, and I know I'm darn good at what I do. And some of you think so, too, out there. Then why don't you tell me sometime? I got beautiful letters in my email from some of the listening audience. I want to just throw out love kisses to you. To every one of you who sent me those encouraging letters, who encouraged me to keep on and blessing me and my household and encouraging me, I want to tell you, keep on doing that. That's what keeps me going. Not nonsense about, I'm not going to speak to her. I'm not going to even call her. I'm not going to send her a letter and then turn around and ask me a favor. Listen, I am Mother Nature. It is not nice to play with Mother Nature because I don't forget anything. I'm an elephant. I remember everything. But you've got to come correct. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to purpose in your heart this year that if you got out against somebody, forgive them. You know why? It's not for them. It will go well with you. You want to get a prayer through. If you're holding out against that person in Mark 11:23, you can go read it. Omi's not lying to you, and it's not according to Omi. It says, before you stand asking for anything from God, if you have aught against anyone, you ought to ask for forgiveness, or your prayers will not be heard. They will be hindered. You don't want that on your conscience. I know you don't. So forgive someone. And if you're holding grudges against someone, ask for forgiveness. And if I've been offensive to anyone, I now put out in the atmosphere, I've accepted every forgiveness offer, and I extend forgiveness to those who might appear to be hurt by what I've said. But I don't take back anything I said that pertains to our advancement as a black people. But I want to tell you black people, stop holding grudges against people, especially those that you know you're fond of and you know you like and you have something in common with them and they're connected to you and you're magnetized to each other. Stop holding grudges to each other and learn to get up off of your tuff and stop saying, I got all these friends to help me. One more will make it even better. Make new friends, but keep the old. Because one means silver and the other gold. Don't go throwing away your friends just because you got an attitude and you so puffed up with anger. Don't go just throwing them out. You never know when you have to cross that bridge and you need them. Because sometimes you will have to come back to me and come through me for something. And remember, an elephant never forgets. I'm not a mean-spirited person, but I don't let nobody make a fool of me. And don't think because of my kindness here on this airway that I will let anyone spread me too thin. My loyalty is to my radio station, not to any other radio station, not to any other college or university, not to any other people, but to the African race here on this Blog Talk Radio. They've been so gracious to me and kind to me. I have a debt to pay because they considered me when others wouldn't and when others wanted funding. They considered me, so if I have anything to invest, it will be here in Blog Talk Radio. I'm here to stay, ladies and gentlemen. And Blog Talk Radio, I want to thank you from the depths of my heart for allowing me to come on these airways uninhibited. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I have loyalty to this station. If Omi's going to go to the top, guess what? Blog Talk will go with her. And that's the word. And you've heard it from the Emperor right here live in my living room. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to station identification, and I'll be brief, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this joint. I'll be short. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court. Waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember I still have the floor. I'm a poet for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
I guess everybody knows that I'm a poet, right? And I have been promoting all of my poetry the best to my ability. Ladies and gentlemen, and that's what this show is about, to open up an opportunity for me to market my materials. You will be able to see some of my materials if you go to my webpage and go to my site. You will see the actual sample of the book that is already in an e-book, but it will be going in a hard copy because I want to put all the pictures from Germany in there to expose some of the beautiful pictures that were taken there along with the poetry. And I just finished the second book, License to Preach, and that was a channeled book. Most of my books are channeled. Therein lies the difference and most authors, I do not sit down traditionally to a typewriter or computer and just type. I channel my work through meditation, through using the Tree of Life. And there is another lady that does the same thing. And if you go on my webpage, you will see Queen of Four, one of my favorite utmost celebrities, authors, writers, health nutritionists. She is there on the website. Please view her information on her book and how she channels her book. I didn't know that there was anybody else like that out there besides myself. When I write about between 4 and 6 in the morning when I'm really on and channeling. However, I have been off the mark for a while, but she reminded me how important it was to write every day. Now, what you'll see out there under lulu.com, Lady Jaguar, you can actually download a copy of my wireless book. And also the CDs are out there, which is on the audio. Please go and patronize me. That's what this whole radio station is about. You getting to know me first, and then upon hearing my voice and what I stand for, then go and purchase some of my materials. Hopefully down the road with my firm, my Montu house, that I am working on as an incorporated company will be producing materials like the Lily tales that are coming from Omiika, from my life, childhood, and family. And there is a series of tales that I've been writing and putting together in an audio book, in addition to The Diary of the Black Angel, which I'm hoping will be out possibly by next year. My manuscript that was put together under the effects that females have on black males is completed. However, we're uploading that now, and we're deciding on a cover for it. That is the monumental book that I spent over 6 years researching, and Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu was sort of my understudy, who I did a spinoff from his book and the conspiracy to destroy black boys. Upon his supervision, he had asked to publish the book. However, I decided when I came back that I would publish it. I'd like to be self-published. So I'm in the process now of getting all that ready to go on the website, and it is a series telling, just talking to the teachers about all the different categories we should look at. My brothers are on the front page, all six of my brothers from childhood, and there is also a sketch showing a black man slumbered over in the classroom being frustrated by a Caucasian teacher. And also there is a child who is unattentive in the class, and this black boy is exemplifying that this effect of hearing the voice of a woman all day has a tendency to weigh on a person. However, in my studies, I discovered it didn't matter if it was a white teacher or black teacher, the black male became frustrated with her voice. So that was discovered. Also, it was discovered it didn't matter if it was a Caucasian male or black male, the black child still needed that interaction with the gender of a black male or the gender of a male. So a lot of that statistics has come out in the research, and I also collaborated with quite a few other gentlemen who I researched and interviewed during the time that I wrote this material. And Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu was actually out lecturing, and he told me that he was very interested in my transcript, and he thought that it would really be supportive and piggybacking onto his topic of the conspiracy to destroy black boys. So everyone knows that I've always had a concept that at a certain age, black boys need to be separated from girls, and they need to be exposed to a male gender instructor. And my hypothesis was that there'd be teen teaching, female gender as well as a male gender in the same classroom, to offer the family structure, which most of our children never see in their home, a male and a female instructing them. Now, I won't go into that any further. That's for another story, another time. Let's get into our topic, ladies and gentlemen. Before I do that, let me go and get purified. And I want to ask permission from my elder to speak. Elder, do I have permission to carry on and speak?
Yes, you do have permission to carry on and speak.
Thank you so very much, Elder. And Elder, I want to thank you so much for being a part of this ceremony. This Elder has been supporting me the whole time. Sometimes the tribe is not here, but the Elder is faithful, and I want to thank her. And I want to anoint her that God will continue to heal her, bless her, and keep her around for a long time to come and actively working in the ministry with Omega and the tribe.
Thank you very much.
And I want to ask Baba, does he have libation ready? He seems to be in here really into his work. Baba, can I disturb you for 1 minute to see if we can get libation ready?
Of course, libations will be ready.
All right, Baba's about to get the libation ready. And you know Baba has another job, but sometimes we have to pull him away from his job so he can come and help us with this ceremony. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, I am so glad to be back and really didn't want to be away from you. And yesterday I was talking all googly gobbly because I had a lot of stuff on my mind. I couldn't get focused. So please bear with me. Is the libation ready, Baba?
Libations are ready. We pour libations to the
north. Pour libations to the north. I pour libations to the south. I pour libations to the east.
I pour libations
to the west. And I wash my face with the water. And I wash my hands. And libation does what, Baba?
Purify. Libation makes one with spirit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand the purpose of the libation so that we can go before God without having a stale face and to purify the area that might have been tainted. As we pour water to the ground, we hope that the ground will be fertile, and wherever the ground hits, where the water hits the ground, it will take root and spring up in the hearts of man all over the diaspora. Baba, is the libation complete?
The libation is complete.
Baba, would you like to offer a prayer for the people?
The prayer is this: we pray to the One Most High that all people, all races, all nationalities come under the conscious knowing of who they are, where they are, that they are comfortable with their genealogy and their lineage. We pray that there's a cease to war and that peace will reign. We pray that those who are disenfranchised from family become connected to family. We pray that mother, father, children, uncles, nieces, nephews, all those that have family can be brought back to those families with love and harmony. We pray for economic stability in the world today. We pray that right is balanced and that wrong is balanced. We pray that people's consciousness, the human being's consciousness, will raise to a level that takes this whole world into the galactic community where higher souls and higher consciousness exist. We pray for those that may not have an inkling of knowing how to do, that they now are blessed with knowing how to do. Because when a man or woman knows how to do, then problems cease to be. We pray that depression and worry ceases in the lives of all inhabitants on the planet. We pray for balance, and we pray for peace and love. Amen and amen.
Thank you so very much, Baba, for the libation and the wonderful prayer for all families. Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet. You are now standing on holy ground. The ground has been fertilized, and the water has been poured from all four cardinal directions. We ask that you will begin to take out your list of names of loved ones, of those who have transitioned on. Ladies and gentlemen, we know the sting of death, and we felt it recently of a dear friend whose loved one made their transition. But because we know the dead never leave us, we only allow that person to extend over into another dimension, knowing that we could never lose track of him and that he would always be a part of that family's life, only if they wanted to hold him in dear closeness while going through the spirit. We must learn, ladies and gentlemen, the time to introduce ancestral communion is at a procession when a loved one makes his transition. That is the hardest time in their life for them to walk away from the sting of death. It was once said that Jesus went to hell to get the keys from Satan, and he took the sting of death away, and he brought back all power in his hand. So we no longer would suffer from the sting of death, but yet we still battle in turmoil with releasing our loved ones. We can't come to grips without seeing their lovely faces. We ought to learn more about the spirit and know that person in the spirit. So when and they will make the transition, we can be free to release our loved ones to go to that next phase in their life. And like Tina Marie said, if you don't treat your people and your loved ones right, you will come back again in another dimension. Maybe not in a higher dimension, but in a lower dimension. Let's learn the lesson while in this life so that we don't have to come back again in that flesh, but come back in three-dimensional spirit where we're transparent. I know that that family still feels the sting of death, and it's hard to release that loved one. But when they know that loved one in the spirit and can take that loved one's name and add it to the other ancestors, they now know that person better and can sit and commune with them at any time they want. And they begin to know that person's spirit much better than they ever would in the natural. Let us become spiritual these days. We all have to meet with death. We all have to understand death is not the final analysis. There is a judgment, and after judgment, death will be weighed as well. Let us remember that melanin can never die, and that we are atoms and frequency. Our life expectancy is immortality in the spirit realm. As we speak this service for that family, my prayer is that they will lift up their continent and grow to know spirit. I pray that they will hold on to their ancestors in the spirit so that Joel Walker and his family will not have to experience the terrible absence of a person's life. I pray that he and his family will come into consciousness and learn to become ancestral communion. Let me call on my ancestors now. I light a candle for my mother's side of the family so that they will light the way to come home. I light a candle for my father's side of the family so that their path is lit. I pour a glass of water for my mother's side of the family that their thirst is quenched. I pour a glass of water for my father's side that their forevermore quenched of thirst. I call on Robert Jenkins and I say, Ashe. I call on Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy B. Harvey, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Marvin Lilly, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. Esther Lee Pope, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Initial Lilly, Ashe. I call on Ruby Bracken, Ashe. Clipper Bracken, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Louise yet in the womb. I pray that you can travel down the canal safely. And I say, Ashe, so be it, so let it be. Take deep breaths with me, ladies and gentlemen. Breathing out the oxygen of frustration. Breathing in the oxygen of high 7 pH alkaline balance. Breathing out the acid balance, breathing in the alkaline balance, bringing all melanin to the proper pH balance. Sequinize your vital signs, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll sequinize mine with you as we get on one accord. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in the oxygen of clarity, breathing out energy of carbon dioxide. Taking deep breaths, putting ourselves in a trance as we allow our Ori to speak through us and to us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time when you meditate. Go into meditation, taking your images with you, meditating on the things that you want to manifest while in the spirit. Your spirit is submerged underwater. But you can bring that spirit up out of the water. And you can bring the spirit to life. And whatsoever you do in the spirit will be manifested in the natural. We want Mother Earth to connect with us. I am the coyote. I am the lion. I am the tiger. And I am the streams and the brooks and the ocean. We are all one and connected to one essence. A higher force, and that is Oludulamare, the god of the African race. We acknowledge Oromola, the African priest and prophet. We acknowledge Ori. If we are to have good success, then we are to thank our Ori, the godhead who lives inside of us, that we collaborate with, and that we borrow his or her tools to manifest things in our life. Thank you so much for joining me through the talking cue. Let us go into the sanctuary now. Prepare to line up to go into the sanctuary. The ancestors are waiting for us. Let's go into the sanctuary two by two. We will stand on our ancestors' shoulders and we will see over their heads. Because we know that they are the sum total of why we came. There is a work that we must carry through for those slaves who never manifested the Emancipation Proclamation. There is a work that we have to do in reparations to fulfill the mission of our ancestors. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for going through that talking cure with me. And I want to reassure each and every one of you of the fact that ancestral worshiping and communing will help you to understand death better. It will help you to transition your loved ones better so that you can begin to know a different life with them, a more closer life in the spirit, and that you can take their obituaries and collect them and know them in the spirit, and call their names frequently so that they are not forgotten. You know it is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. Now, if you have learned anything from this show at all, you've learned that your ancestors are immortal, and you are immortal. Your spirit can never die. even though we know the flesh must deteriorate and go back to the dust from which it came, our spirits will live on. We are a part of what you call energy and melanin. Energy has a frequency that never loses its vibration, and they don't really know if we were just an atom and a vibrating atom when we were in the womb. There was a nothingness there, and we might have existed before the atom did. However, God was created from nothingness, and he created us from nothingness, from the ether in the air. So we must understand that the chemicals that we go back to in the form of vibration will never stop vibrating. Even unto the grave, 6 feet under, it is still a vibration going on. You don't have to believe me on it. Go check out the history. It will substantiate itself. The main important thing is that you teach your children properly about death. Don't make them think that God took somebody away from them and they are to hate God now that he's separated them from their mother or father. Let them understand that it's a process. Decaying, secor sets in. Decaying sets in the body, and secor takes the family members away with death, because there's a process of living, being born, and dying. It all works together. You become born again as a child. You become an elder. Then you transition into ancestralship. As you learn what the Africans taught well, it will give you a better understanding why the ancient Egyptians buried themselves with all of their properties, thinking that because they believed in reincarnation, they knew that they would live again, and they thought that things would be right here waiting for them. What they didn't know is that the spirit is what rises and not the material man. Now, once again, I'd like to thank you. Let me get right into my topic here. First, I want to go to station identification, and I know that each and every one of us understand that we still are patronizing our brother, and we are not forgetting to buy from ourselves and circulate the dollar. Let me go right to commercial with you, Gemma.
Let's all deny
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're in the Care to Read room with your Omiyika 7, which is underwritten by Project 2019. We are a family and consumer science organization, and the views of this radio station does not necessarily express those or the expressions of Project 2019 or Blog Talk Radio. Now, we're talking about today reparation and discussing the scheme that the Northerners had against the Southerners. Now, because of time, we're going to get right into our topic. The Northerners assumed that the Southerners had too much going on. They had a complete family running their affairs while they were out on the field, on the grounds of fighting. So therefore, they didn't have to rush home to do anything. They could fight uninhibitedly, and do a good job of winning. And the Northerners got a little tired of getting beat. So they devised a scheme. And Abraham Lincoln was involved in this scheme, too. And the congressmen were against it. Now, I know I was going to tell you about these three congressmen who fought viciously for African American to have an amendment that would free them officially. And these three congressmen, I think one was Stevenson, and I think Bingham was one. Two of them had mistresses that were African American or African. So they had a reason for wanting the African Americans to obtain their full freedom because they had children that they wanted to be free that were mulatto children. But they fought feverishly to get that amendment put in place, and they fought to push it through until it finally got accepted. However, in the meantime, Abraham Lincoln devised a plan that would make the Northerners believe that the war was finally coming to an end. But what they didn't consider was the Northerners wasn't ready to give up their slaves. So they had a little discussion. Now, we're going to free these slaves. At least we're going to make them think they're free. And then the Northerners were saying, how could you free the Confederates when you don't even have authority over the Confederate states? So he made us think that he could free the Confederate from those northern states, but they didn't have the power to. But the area they could have freed, they did not free in the north. Now, here you have the President of the United States involved in the scheme. He puts out information, not in writing now. He said he didn't want to put it in writing just yet, but he put the word out that the slaves were going to be freed. And the Southerners began to get rattled about it, and they got scared because they then thought, who's going to run our households while we're out on the battlefield fighting? So this scheme was only to scare the Southerners, but it never was official. In the meantime, the President, Abraham Lincoln, decided to devise a plan to create land that he was going to outline for those slaves to get their 40 acres and a mule plus $100. So he took the outlying areas of North Carolina all down near the southern states of up to Jacksonville, Florida, and the islands, and he designated them for slaves. And ladies and gentlemen, some slaves did obtain the land, but United States president sent someone out to apprehend that land. These people did not want to give it back, the African Americans. They didn't want to give it back, so there was a fight on their hand to release the land, but they finally did. In the meantime, because it wasn't official, but the Southerners thought it would affect us if we have to give up our slaves, so they went to the president, and the president says, well, we can compensate you for these slaves. If you've given them, if given up your slave, we could compensate you, okay? We could really compensate you, and we can make a difference for you financially. So in the meantime, these slaves were never freed, or did they receive their land. So it became a scam, and it was a scam of the century. Instead of talking about Juneteenth, they should have talked about the scam, and it should have been looked into. Now, even though they never documented anything by putting it in writing, It was out in the community, and the word got to the Southerners that they were going to lose their precious commodity, slaves. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, slaves were a commodity. As I told you, that they were like a walking credit card. Whenever you wanted some work done and you didn't have funds, you could submit one of your slaves, and they were in actuality to represent money, filthy lucre. So slaves were very, very, very rich commodities. And as I told you during this time, slaves were looked upon as cattle. And now, where we need to look at constitutional laws, we need to understand, was it constitutional for the Northerners to be conspiring with the President of the United States? Now, it seems like that these laws were only written for white male in power, and no other race of people had any connection to the good old boy club. And because of that, they did what they wanted to do, and nobody challenged them. But the system is a little differently now, ladies and gentlemen. They can, however, be challenged. And because Abraham Lincoln conspired in a felony, that would be unheard of for any suitable president who should have been impeached for such bad behavior and poor taste. Now, that is why we have such a terrible, terrible ethical problem in the judicial system and the Congress, because ethical behavior is exemplified poorly from models and leaders, and it passes down through the generation. Now, we know there's a lot of unethical things going on back there, but I want to say something to you. A lot of displaced families, families that were killed, families that were not able to be located, children not able to go to school, people not being able to read. One would call that in today's time a genocide. Was there a genocide going on? And can we really prove that people were displaced? Children were taken out of, out of their homes. They were not allowed to go to school. That was a genocide if I ever seen one, to cause hardship on the family. And there's still genocide going on to this day. But most people don't realize in the Cardinal Report, you can pull up information to help you identify genocide situations. Now, I know people keep saying, well, girl, we got over that. We done got over the grain house now. Why are you still talking about slavery? Ain't nobody still in slavery. We done got our 4 acres and mule, and we's free. Since when are you free? And how do you know that you have gotten over this thing if nobody ever has measured your intelligence level or your behavior? And if every time you look up African American are involving themselves in carcinogenic drugs and feel-good apparatuses, then you would think that somewhere along the line we're dissatisfied. And we habitually tied to these pharmaceutical and illegal drugs. So why do we have to have so many drugs to medicate ourselves? What are we trying to suppress? What are we trying to hide? What are we trying to not talk about in our past? Are we fooling ourselves or the world? There has been a damage done, and a genocide has taken place. And yes, we are abnormally out of our ever-loving minds when we start turning the gun on one another, committing suicide, talking to our sisters like they're animals and dogs and like they're our gardening tools. We are out of our mind. Now, this is something that we became because of racism. And I know you're going to say that, but the white man didn't do that. The Caucasian didn't do that. It's just us preying on each other. Right. It's us. But we had to define and name what was wrong with us and not only get a diagnosis, but get the cause of it. People keep forgetting the roots and cause of these behaviors is a direct result of slavery. If you never can hold your head up high and feel good about your family being contributors to society, and you only know welfare and struggle, then you will internally destroy yourself in a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you will begin at yourself and say, I'm no earthly good, and you will carry out your life in that manner. But you have got to understand there is a reason to this madness. And the madness started when we went into slavery. Don't think that just the Caucasians were involved in the slave trade. There was the Spaniards and the Portuguese. There were Catholic churches involved, and there were Africans involved as well. However, the reason we know the Africans were involved, because they came out officially from different countries in Africa and made the statement that they were involved and that they do apologize and that they offer all rights into their country for African Americans to come back and acquire land. Now, do you think that that is being announced all over the radio station and TV station? No. It's being kept a secret. Only certain selective African Americans know about it. Because their country feels that you will all come over immediately and overburden their country and infiltrate by taking over the presidency and running their country. So they don't want to send that masses of people out that will cause a problem. Now, in the meantime, we are still saying, but it was Africans involved, and they're just as blamed. Yes, they are, but they're offering a pardon and reparations. The question is, have you held the United States responsible for their part that they played, and are you asking them what are they going to offer in the form of reparations? We've got to ask them, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, we got to ask them. You know why we got to ask them? We've got to ask them because right now, as we sit here, we are slowly becoming swept outside of the society. If we can no longer perform a service of materialistic labor, we are no longer needed in society as African Americans, and we can easily be disposed of. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can easily be disposed of. Because you're not performing the service anymore. And I don't care how much you tell me, but they love Michael Jordan and they love those basketball stars are just doing it. They can't live without us. Keep believing that. In the meantime, new labor is coming in from all foreign countries to do the job even better than we ever did. And they're not spinning no cotton gins. They're doing hard labor. And they're willing to do just about whatever the United States wants them to do in order to come into this country. We ought to be outraged about the foreigners that are coming into the country who are taking jobs that should be given to those who have slaved at the sweat of their brows and who have labored. We ought to be outraged about this thing, and yet we've got African Americans standing up as an advocate to fight for the immigrants, when knowingly that we are the immigrants and we are also falling lower than the refugees. We don't know our facts and we don't know our historical documents and we don't have information to support anything. We jump up and join all kinds of groups and say, now we're going to support advocacy for the immigrants coming into the country. You're going to move yourself right out of a job and out of the country. Now, why don't we sit down sensibly and negotiate with these powers to be and say, the United States Army, I know you have no more need for us, but there are plenty of places that we can go in our homeland. And because you're trying to unite yourself with them and become a dual citizen there, give us dual citizenship. and let us go back to our country and give us a piece of land and give us some land where we can advance ourselves. Then we can get out of your way. But don't think because you're playing these games that they like to see in sports, you're singing and entertaining, that there is still need for you. You have to understand that if they can no longer have a need for you, then the prison systems will max out, or the institutional psychological wards will max out. It's a plan where we are looking at imprisonment or institutional psychological institutes, and we have to be very, very careful which one we choose of the lesser two evils. We have to define and let them know we know what you got planned, but we're not going to either one. You're going to give us some land and let us go back to our motherland. And the land that is there that these African chiefs have offered, ladies and gentlemen, go on my Facebook and look up some of these people talking about the land that's there. My father-in-law is over there now. He apprehended the land. They gave him land, and he built a home on the land. The land is available. Even if you did nothing else after losing your homes here, you should go there and apprehend yourself some land and home. You need to understand that passports are going to be very, very difficult in the near future because most people are going to figure this thing out. Africa is not poor and penniless. Africa is not on a downslide, and it's not bush people. Parts of Africa is beautiful, rolling hills, beautiful, rich land. And living right there 8 miles away from Africa in Germany, it was beautiful land because at one time there was no Europe but just Eurasia. And the people that came from Africa were just outdone about these tribal wars. But where did they come from? Why would some spook come into your country and start fighting and run everybody out and kill everybody off? What was all of these tribal wars about? And why did Europe inherit so many refugees from Africa? I thought I was in Africa while in Europe because we had a little refugee camp that made up primarily the whole city of refugees who spoke all various different tongues of Africa language. Now, we're going to have to pull ourselves together. Got to stop feeling sorry for ourselves and talking about the hurt and all of the emotional part because people don't deal with you when you're in the emotional realm. You've got to be in the business aspect of this reparation. Clear your head. Stop the crying and stop talking about what people went through when they were beaten through the Middle Passage. Stop talking about Gory Island and going over there smelling the stench in Gory Island. Let's start talking business. Start talking collaboration. Now, if Martin Luther King had any recollection of what he could have gained with all of that support to just push your way up to the front of the bus to rub shoulders with somebody, when you had that kind of audience, you could have won the world what they wanted, reparation. And even with the Million Man March going over there to the foot of the so-called Emancipated Proclamator Abraham Lincoln, thinking that Abraham Lincoln had freed us and gave us a proclamation, and we stand at the feet crying and begging, and we there showing the president that we got his support when he never had our support. Now we got to get this thing right. We falsify things and lie about things and live up to things that we know are not right. Now we've got. If the emancipation did take place, then why was the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment created? To fix up the document that never worked. Now, if you've got those kind of documents out there that are not working or didn't work, just think how many other documents may be out there that are not working also. If you got a clever mind and a good mind, then you would have a mind to sit down to look at some documents to find out how those black laws look and those black codes look, and were they ever duplicated to carry over into the new system? Now, that's your homework assignment. I asked you to come in to talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to carry this whole thing on my own backside because I know reparation is for a people and not for an individual. And I know that you must want for yourself what you want for your brother. And Caucasian, if you're true to heart, you must want for yourself what you want for your brother. And I know you're going to tell me, but I wasn't there when all this happened, and I am not a direct descendant, and I did not, cause this. You didn't, I know, and we're not saying you did. What we're saying that you're a benefactor of it. You're a benefactor because your children went through the school system uninhibitedly. Your children had an opportunity to be born with filthy lucre already in the bank. Your children had an opportunity to be able to transition to any universities they want to. So you benefited from it. And we must understand that, ladies and gentlemen, we're not trying to lay the blame on anyone or point the finger. And we know that our country is basically borrowing from China and there is not any funds left. We know that. But we want the congressman and the House of Representatives and legislature and Obama to consider us talking about a creative situation where we'll create the opportunity for us to become independent employers and entrepreneurs, and we set up our corporations and become incorporated, and at the same time set our businesses up, whatever our businesses may be, and that they will help these corporations get off the ground so that everybody will have an opportunity to be an institution, everyone that wants to, and that support will be given to them. And then in the process of becoming a corporation, all types of allowances be given to that small business. And that is not asking for a whole lot. We're not asking for a whole lot, but an opportunity to compete and to get some upfront funding. Not set aside, but reparation. Now, call in and talk to Omi about it. You can call that number at 646-478-0270 because we're right here in the room talking about it today. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not just being a mouthpiece out here. I'm trying to collaborate and offer some intelligent opportunities to break bread in a discussion. We need a platform. We need a platform for all of those college recipients who have a lot to say about not finding employment. We need to hear what's on their minds. We need a platform for women to come forward. We need a group of people to come forward to talk about the black codes and the laws that existed back in 1863 and 1865. We need to see if those laws are still being camouflaged today. We need to have somebody examine the processing in the courtroom and also the pro se and the pro bono. We need all of these things to be going on. Obama, you're a smart and intelligent young man, and you got into the White House, and you keep telling everybody, yes, I can. Yes, we can. If it's yes, we can, then that means everybody can be a corporation. That means that everybody could have their hand at writing their plans of a mission statement and helping them to put together corporations. That means that we can send out a group of people specializing in bank accounts, small businesses, writing your proposal to help African Americans from the front to the end of the process of becoming a corporation. And once they do that, they have their 7 years to play around with building that corporation. Give them their 7 years. And give them support so that each one of these companies will become a billion-dollar company and show them how to max out in doing the structure of the business so they're competent and the business is lucrative. And if they can't, then give them a chance for 7 years to do this. 7 years is a year of completion, ladies and gentlemen. And even the laws deal with 7 years of completion and things being over or new beginnings. I say start this process of bringing intellectuals together to talk about the unique ways we could look at our reparation. And I'm not just talking about in the future. I mean immediately where we can cross reference information. You got very intelligent people now. There's so much information out there. There could be teams of young people involved in research right now who can be paid to get off the streets. Obama, call them in to the White House and let them do internships for 1 year. The presidency program, where they come in at a real high lucrative salary, give them that 1 year exposure in the White House, and after that, they're on their own because they've made all these contacts. They should be able to find employment. That's another option. You know why I know it is? Because someone offered it to me. They were looking for ambassadors to come work 1 year in the White House, only 1 year, for $75,000 a year. However, after that 1 year, you must go, and you must take all your contacts and go and find permanent employment with them, or else you're out of a job. That is an option, okay? That's a form of giving back their reparations. Now, there's other reparations for these young people. Put them on a rotating program as ambassadors, and let them go into the hospitals, over in the clinics, and overseas with the military, and let them go on a rotating basis where they rotate from job to job until they find the job that they're more suited for, and then allow them to be placed. But give them that exposure for having on-the-job exposure. You got so many young people coming out of college that are just overwhelmed by the fact that they have created this much loans and have no way of compensating themselves to work to pay for the loans. Now, young people are I'm more concerned with them because we've got to leave some hope for them. Obama, you got children yourself, and I'm sure you're talking to each one of them about college and about what it means to be educated so that you be guaranteed a job. That no longer holds true. You're not guaranteed a job unless your father rubs shoulders with many people that are in high places, or your mother. So we've got to tell our children something different than get a degree, you'll have a job. What we got to tell them is that there's going to be programs mandatory that they can take in the business realm so they can have their day in learning about the business world, and they have an option to become an entrepreneur businessman. Now, in Europe, we could take a lesson from Europe. Europe is the prima donna of welfare. In Paris, that was where it was really created, in order to keep the people from rousing up the queen and overthrowing the queen because they didn't have any money. They were penniless and dirt poor, and they were afraid that they would break in and overtake their thrones. So they gave them set-asides called welfare. They perfected that thing. I don't care what anybody says in Europe, they perfected it. There's so many people unemployed in Europe and are without jobs, you would be surprised to find this out the way they live. They're given their support system for schooling, first of all. They're able to go to college for free for 4 years if their test scores exemplify they are college material. If not, they're able to go to the technical vocational college for at least 2 years, and their housing is paid for up until the age of 24 or 25. This gives them a transitioning program into society where they're not a burden on the systems for going out in the streets, becoming burglars and robbers. This gives them a jump start to get ready to go into society. It has been a great workable program in Europe. Why don't we adapt that here in the United States, Obama? Look into it. Another form of reparation. Now, I'm giving you solutions that I've seen work. I'm giving you a solution. Now, if the school system is failing and children don't want to be there, then why keep them there all day? Let them go a half a day, like the Europeans do, and then send them to a tutor or send them to work so that they can start learning their trades earlier. Why are we perturbing these children by keeping them in school all day? And they're just so fed up because they are grown people after 12 years old. They don't want to be there. Then put them to work and give them a job or give them a tutor to help them build their skills. They don't need to stay in a classroom 6 hours to learn what they can learn in 4 hours. Now, the Germans have exemplified that. Their children go to school from about 7 to 1 o'clock, and they're out of school every day. And they're going home to their tutors or to their nannies or what have you. Now, given that we don't have the nannies, we could have those children in internships. We could have those children in tutoring programs. And then we could really max out on their test scores to get them up to par. You can teach everything you need to teach in a half-day morning. You don't need to drag it out. Now, school systems have to be re-looked at, and they have to be re-examined and challenged. Teachers have to be trained in the area of the new version of the virtual school online, because children take it serious when they know they are online with other people, they get their work out of the way, get it done, so they can have the day free to do other things. More homeschool children score much higher than traditional academic students. I know that. And I've seen homeschoolers do this, and I've worked with my children in homeschooling for a period of a year. It's very important that we train mothers to become the first teachers. Take the money we have and train mothers to work with the teachers to become the first teachers, and include the elders so that the elders can pass the baton in the form of a setting of a classroom so they can learn from elders and they can also learn from their parents. Now, there's tons of parents that want to be the first teachers. Take a small amount of dollars to train them to work with virtuous programs, then you can change this failing school system. Some teachers don't want to be there. They'll tell you, I got mine, you got to get yours. And some of them will tell you, I'm just here for the bottom line, a paycheck, because they're frustrated with the system too. So we got to overhaul the system and bring reparation in so that we could pay our students and give them a small stipend for coming to school, because by almighty, when I start paying my students to come to class, fake money, of course, they began the attendance increase. They showed up. They worked harder because they knew that somebody was depending on them. Make these children understand that, yes, when you go to school, it's a job, and we acknowledge it, and we're going to compensate you for it. That's right, Obama, because when you compensate children to come to school and to put their time in, they work a lot harder for those teachers. And I don't care if it's a little minimum allowance, it will keep them out of the 5 and 10 cent store from stealing, being sent up the river for stealing a pair of gym shoes or baggy pants or what have you. Our people have got to get out of these material things. What has really got us so lost is our desire for material things and to have and to be rich. You're rich in your own spirit. If you don't have nothing but two pairs of shoes and two pairs of jeans, wash them every day and wear them and be proud and stop desiring every material thing you see, which is putting you in a category of being possessive of things and stuff. We are going to hell in a basket because we have such a high desire for materialistic things. You don't have to have all those things. Young people, you don't have to sport the most latest outfits and all of the name brands to be somebody. You are somebody. You are somebody. Now, the Northerners were soft. The Northerners were smart. They had wealth, and they knew what to do. They kept a family atmosphere, and a family worked together. So when you develop these businesses, develop family businesses and hire your children. So when you hire your children, you begin to progress and advance in business. We've got to come out of the state that we just want another job. We've got to get a slice of the apple pie and get the all-American dream that all of these immigrants are coming in our country to obtain. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring this down to a halt. And I am going to ask you to do the work. I'm going to ask you to continue to look into opportunities that we can advance our situation as a refugee, as a person who's fallen below the status of a refugee. We've got to get some filthy lucre, and it's not through hook or crook, and it's not through stealing, and it's not through pulling a gun on anyone. Young people, I want you to stop pulling that gun out on people, and I want you to stop harassing people for what doesn't belong to you. I want you to definitely stop killing your own brothers and sisters over drugs and warlord. I want you to manage your life better. And what it is you don't know, go and learn about your great heritage and who you were. May, don't go to the door. Who is it? No. I want you to learn about, who is it?
It's him.
Oh, okay. Oh, the door went open? Okay. I want you to learn about your great heritage, and I want you to understand that your ancestors would turn over in their grave if they know that you were carrying on in this masquerade of assaulting your own black brothers and sisters, robbing and killing and dying for something called crack cocaine. You got to give it up. I know that you're hurting. I know that you're hurting, brothers and sisters. And I know you think it takes the pain away. I know you think it takes you to another element or another dispensation. The Native Americans knew it too. That's why they passed the peace pipe. They understood that the body had to be on relaxation and it has to come away from the stress. There's other ways of doing it, brothers and sisters. And you could take a trip on a meditation or trance, and you can leave the premises of this cruel world without having to kill yourself and others around you. Put down the drugs. Put down the guns and try something different. I decree that it will change your life. Fight for a real cause and not just to die from the substance of drugs. And look at the fact that most of our black men are maxing out the prisons because of this so-called feel-good drug. Let's stop passing it around. Let's stop selling it, and let's stop giving it to our communities and stop giving it to the world. If you can do just that, then Martin Luther King's death would not be in vain. But somehow I believe that you're just the middle man and the little man, and that the war on drugs exists with the bigger institution. I'm decreeing that those institutions will crumble that have set drugs in our community. I'm decreeing that those institutions will no longer be able to function, because we've got to live in this new society. We cannot be drugged up and drugged out and prisoned down. We've got to be free. Give us free. Give us free, as my brother said. Give us free. I was born by the river in a little old shack, just up the road a piece. It's been a long time coming, but I do know that a change is gonna come. It's been too hard living, but I just won't die. Oh, I think I'll go on living. It's been a long time coming, but I do know, oh, a change is gonna come. When I go to the movies and I see those same old faces, and my brother said, don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I do know that a change is going to come. A change is going to come, ladies and gentlemen. And look for it and wait on it. And when you've done all that you can do to stand and wait, I said, remain standing, because a change is upon us now. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been a great listening audience, and I will see you tomorrow, same time, same place, here in the Care to Read Room. Once again, lock in that dial, 646-478-0270, and call in with your comments tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you. Once again, on that note, I say, oh, double and baba booey to you, y'all. See you tomorrow.